New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter climbed out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out to the Lord, "Save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got to the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, this is the Son of God." This is the word of our Lord. After reading the familiar story of Jesus walking on water, I thought it would only be appropriate to tell a couple of walking on water jokes. So Jesus took an atheist out fishing one day, and so they're out in the boat and they're away from the shore. Well, the oar of the boat fell into the water and it's floating away. So Jesus jumps out of the boat and he walks across the water to retrieve the oar, and he walks back across the water and climbs into the boat. So the next day, the friend of the atheist says, "So how was your fishing trip with Jesus?" And Jesus said, "Oh, it was fine, but that Jesus guy, he's kind of weird. He doesn't know how to swim." Okay, so just one more. There's a Presbyterian, a Methodist, and a Catholic, and they decide to go fishing one day. So they're all in this boat, and they're off at sea. You can still see the shore. What the Presbyterian says, "Well, I forgot the fishing poles." So he jumps out of the boat and he walks across the water back to the shore to retrieve the fishing poles. And he walks back across the water and climbs into the boat. And at that point, the Methodist says, "Well, I forgot the bait." So he climbs out of the boat and he's walking across the water to the shore, gets the bait, and he comes back. So at this point, the Catholic looks at him and he says, "Well, if y'all can walk across the water, then so can I." So he climbs out of the boat, and as soon as he does, he sinks to the bottom. And so the Presbyterian and the Methodist look at each other and they said, "Well, do you think we should have told them where the rocks are?" These jokes are cute, and you all may have already heard them a dozen times in your life before, but they are still funny. So thank you for listening and humoring me this morning. Our passage from Matthew this morning about Jesus walking on water is probably just as common as these jokes are. It is a passage that we know well. It is one that we have heard time and time again. But just in the same way that those walking on water jokes don't get old to us, this passage remains quite timely for us as well. It is a passage that is full of valuable lessons and rich insights into the person of Christ. It is a passage that may appear to be a miracle and classified as one, since Peter and Jesus are walking on water after all. But what I really wanted us to do this morning was to look beyond the notion of the miracle and contemplate what it actually means to walk on water and how all of us can walk on water in our own lives. Once we are able to break loose from the literal rendering of this passage, no longer focusing on the miraculous act of Peter and Jesus walking on water, then we can explore the metaphorical message here. And we can hone in on the theological significance, which shows us how all of us have the capability to walk on water. In order to explore what it means to walk on water and to shift away from this literal reading, I wanted us to examine the imagery and the symbolism that Matthew uses in this passage regarding the sea and the storm. To start with, the sea, which we might think of as the waters or the deep, they have strong biblical connotations. You may recall several Old Testament passages, like the ones that we read in Genesis, where the waters are referred to as chaos. Or if you were to think of the sea as the deep, it might bring to mind images of looking into dark, murky waters. What lies below is unknown, and it seems threatening. For the people of biblical times, the sea was a place of great anxiety. It was a place where there was dark powers, a place of unknown things, and oftentimes a place of death. The other symbolic image that Matthew uses in this passage is the storm, which is frightening to the disciples, and it's tossing their boat about. The storm is a further extension of the perils of life. It represents all those things in life that cause us anxiety and fear. It symbolizes all those things that threaten our sense of security and that disrupt our inner peace. It is any sort of external or outside force that affects us. So in this passage of Matthew, as Jesus is recorded walking on water, what it metaphorically illustrates is his ability to walk on water above these threatening waters of chaos and to not be worried by them or to sink into them. It depicts Jesus as being able to very calmly and effortlessly walk above this deep sea that is threatening and that contains many dangers. And as he is also able to withstand the violent storm that is taking place around him, this metaphorically represents his ability to tolerate all those outside factors that threatens a person's sense of security or their sense of peace. And it illustrates a calmness amidst it all. As we focus on the metaphorical message and the symbolism of the sea and the storm, then we can clearly see that this is a passage about walking through life. It is a passage about enduring the chaos, the fears, the anxieties, and the perils of life without allowing them to disrupt our sense of peace. This passage metaphorically invites us to envision ourselves as the Jesus of this text, walking above the chaos in our own lives and facing the storms of our lives that threaten to overwhelm us at times, but withstanding it all and calmly walking on. Now that we have explored the metaphorical message a little bit and some of the symbolism in this passage, I wanted us to examine how all of us can walk on water in our own lives. And there are three key elements to this whole walking on water thing that are delineated in this passage. And the first key element is that it takes prayer. The second key element is that it takes trust. And the third key element is that it takes focus. So it takes prayer, trust, and focus for us to be able to walk on water. And I wanted to talk about these briefly with you all. As you will recall, this passage started out with Jesus returning from a mountain where he had been off praying by himself. Now, it is no coincidence that our passage starts out with Jesus returning from prayer. It is a precursor to his ability to walk on water. Matthew does not want us to miss the parallel between Jesus' prayer life and the mighty things that he does. It is only after Jesus has been off praying that he is then able to walk on these deep, murky waters of chaos without sinking into them. And it is only after returning from praying that he has a sense of calmness and peace as he withstands the anxiety and fears of the violent storm that is surrounding him. So the first key element to withstanding the perils of life and instilling a deep sense of peace and calmness within us is prayer. It is prayer that creates a calm, sure-footed presence as we walk on. The second key element is trust. You may recall the part in this passage when the disciples are frightened by the storm and their boat's being tossed about, and they become even more frightened when Jesus is walking towards them because they mistake him as a ghost. But Jesus says to them, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." When Jesus says, "It is I," he is using the divine name of God to announce his presence. These Greek words, "It is I," are the exact same Hebrew words that are used in the book of Exodus when God reveals his identity to Moses at the burning bush. So essentially, Jesus is saying, "Calm down. The great I am is with you. You have nothing to worry about or be afraid of." In other words, Jesus is saying, "Trust me." So it is by trusting that the great I am is with us amidst the storms of life that allow us to stay calm and weather those storms and walk on. And the last key element that I wanted to briefly discuss is the focus aspect. If you remember in this passage, the part where Peter is able to walk across the water, then you'll also recall that it only lasts for a short bit of time before he starts sinking into the water. The reason he starts sinking down to the water is because his focus and his attention shifts from Jesus, and he becomes frightened and alarmed about the storm and the violent winds that are taking place all around him. So it's at that point that his fears and anxieties of the situation take over, and they distract his attention and his focus from Jesus. So focusing on the presence of Jesus instead of on our fears and anxieties when we're in the midst of a storm of life actually dispels those fears and anxieties so that we can walk on. It is with these three key elements, prayer, trust, and focus, that we are able to walk on water and withstand the storms of life. Earlier this week, I received a phone call from a close friend of mine. She was a parishioner at a church that I served several years ago, and she was calling to let me know that the doctors had found a mass in her husband's lung. And this mass is about 12 centimeters by 10 centimeters. So if you were to cut a pear in half, that is about the size of this mass that they found in his lung. And they're also able to see that this mass is reaching up into his lymph nodes and has wrapped around his bronchial tubes. So at this point, they have him scheduled for a procedure and a biopsy to determine and verify that it is cancer. And she was calling to ask if I would keep her in my thoughts and prayers. And I assured her that I would. And I also inquired as to how she was doing and how her husband was handling the news. And she just as calmly as ever said to me, "I trust God is with us through this. I trust that he will provide for us and that he is helping us." Her response to this unsettling and unnerving news regarding her husband is exactly what Matthew is trying to convey to us in this passage. There are storms of life that we will face, and it takes prayer, and it takes trust, and it takes focus to weather those storms and the chaos of our lives. It takes praying for ourselves and asking others to pray for us. It takes trusting that the great I am is with us and providing for us. And it takes focusing on God amidst it all, not letting the fears and the anxieties or the what-if scenarios creep into our minds and overwhelm us. It is with these three things, prayer, trust, and focus, that all of us can keep calm and walk on. In closing, I have a couple of questions for you. I will not bore you with any more of my Jesus jokes. But I do want to know how many of you are familiar with the Keep Calm posters and apparel that have become increasingly popular over the past several years. I see them pretty much wherever I go. But I saw this card at the grocery store the other evening. It's Keep Calm and Carry On. There's many different variations of this message. Some say keep calm and eat a cookie. Some say keep calm and go shopping. My favorite is the one that says, keep calm and paddle on. But I wanted to see a show of hands from those of you who are familiar with this message, this keep calm and carry on. So if you could just raise your hand and show me. Yeah, it's a pretty common message. But I also wanted to see a show of hands from those of you who know where this message originated from. So this message was initially created as a motivational poster in 1939 by the British government, and it was created in order to boost morale as they were embarking on the Second World War. So this poster was put out to create some positive energy for them as they embarked on this time of war and with all the predicted airstrikes that were predicted to occur in the cities. 2.5 million copies of this poster were printed, but none of the posters were ever publicly displayed. In fact, little was known about them until one of them was rediscovered in 2000. And since then, it has flooded mainstream America and become an icon for American pop culture. In light of our scripture reading and our sermon this morning, I wondered if we could all create our own motivational poster. And ours would say, keep calm and walk on. It would be a way to boost morale for us whenever we do face those perils of life. Keep calm and walk on is a powerful reminder that all of us has what it takes to walk on water. It takes prayer, it takes trust, and it takes focus. And we can keep calm and walk on. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.